Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of February the 10th, 2025. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. On this episode, I'll have a rundown of what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this week, as well an interview with Carrie Greaves, the Commissioner of Corporate Services and City Treasurer. City Council ratified the operating budget on Monday night, and we'll hear all about it. But first, City Councilors ratified, as I just mentioned, the 2025 operating budget on Monday night. Council debated the budget on February the 3rd so quickly that a second meeting was cancelled. On Monday night, Council ratified the budget, with the budget increasing by 3.77%, which is less than the Council-directed target of 3.8%. The capital budget was passed in late 2024, and as I mentioned, we'll have a discussion on the budget with City Treasurer and Commissioner of Corporate Services Carrie Greaves in just a few minutes. There were also a number of announcements on Monday night. One was from Growth Commissioner Carrie Marshall, telling Council that the first meeting of the Growth Task Force has taken place. Another was from Councillor Casey Atreney, reminding the public of the Stawnee's Tournament of Hearts starting on February 14th and inviting the public to take in some curling action at the Fort William Gardens. Another announcement from Community Services Commissioner Kelly Robertson was to remind people about registration dates for Pro Kids. All of those dates can be found online at thunderbay.ca and then clicking on the Recreation and Pro Kids tabs. As well, Councillor Albert Aiello will host a McIntyre Ward meeting on February the 26th, and that takes place at the Castle Green Community Centre. Council heard a presentation on Monday night from Michael Veneziali, who is representing a group that has committed to raising $1 million towards the new indoor turf facility. The group is exploring what type of opportunities are available to raise money. The group represents a number of user groups for the facility and includes soccer, football, lacrosse, frisbee, and baseball, along with others. In the past, this group has showed its support for the facility, and this is their way of showing financial support for the indoor turf facility. Council approved a resolution on Monday night from Councillor Michael Zucino asking to look into parking concerns along Sunrise Boulevard near Golf Links Road. Currently, there is space for about 8 vehicles to park along the south side of the road. People in the neighborhood have voiced concerns about parked vehicles creating a pinch point in traffic flow, made worse by a community mailbox in the area. Some people in the neighborhood have asked for the area to be designated as no parking, as is done on the north side of the street. A petition with 240 signatures was presented to Zucino on the matter. The city will now do a traffic study in the area to see if changes are needed. The area in question is already actively monitored for parking infractions. An update on this item, along with all other parking updates, will be brought to Council in January. Council received the 2024 Drinking Water Quality Management System Management Review Report on Monday. The report highlights the suitability, adequacy, and effectiveness of the system. It also includes internal and external audit results, water quality results, operational performance, and a review of system infrastructure. The external audit confirmed that the system is effectively implemented and meets the requirements as needed. In October, the Ministry of Environment, Conservation and Parks conducted an inspection of the system and gave an inspection rating of 100%. No instances of non-compliance or non-conformation were found. Council received a summary on Monday night of all of the contract variances administered by the Engineering Division since 2001. The summary shows that there were 317 contracts between 2001 and 2024 at a total of $684.2 million of work. Overall, that work came in $7.2 million under budget. 243 of those contracts came in under budget. For the past decade, just over $286 million of work was completed, coming in at $1.8 million under budget. Some work from 2024 is still underway, so totals for the last year are still not fully complete. Council will be updated on 2024 jobs in the future. Council awarded a contract on Monday night for about $824,000 to curbside collection for the dewatered sludge and grit haul contract. The one-year contract also comes with 2 1-year renewal options. The total amount is based on estimated quantities. If the amount processed is higher, the overall cost could go up. The work includes taking the dewatered sludge from the Atlantic Avenue Water Pollution Control Plant, or the sewage plant, loading it into bins, emptying the bins at the Maple Ward Road Solid Waste Facility, and then replacing the bins. The city doesn't have the equipment or resources to do the job, according to a report. Curbside Collection, the company that was awarded the contract, has been doing the work for the past 5 years. The solid waste and grit at the plant is treated as part of the sewage treatment process. Council received a response on Monday night from administration asking if pets could be buried in the city's cemetery. Administration says that in consultation with the Bereavement Authority of Ontario, there are options for the burial of cremated pet remains within cemeteries. However, allowing for pet remains cannot be applied retroactively, and a separate designated area is needed for the remains. This designated area needs to be treated prior to the development of the cemetery. Administration says the land available at the city cemetery is limited and would not be sufficient to create a designated area. It is estimated that there are about 7 to 10 years left of use in the city cemetery based on current usage. However, burying pet remains could be considered if the cemetery is expanded in the future. Administration says municipalities are not required to expand cemeteries to create more capacity for additional burials. As the cemetery gets closer to capacity, administration says it will look into potential expansions and will inform council of long-term options. Council voted to proceed as directed with a legal matter on Monday night. It involves the Thunder Bay Public Library. The matter was discussed in closed session on January the 27th. There were other items that also came out of the Monday, February the 10th closed session meeting. That included an update on funding for the Temporary Village, Hillcourt Estates, and the Thunder Bay Professional Firefighters Association Arbitration Award. The funding matter was to proceed as directed. That involves the Temporary Village. For Hillcourt Estates, council voted not to sell the trailer park at this time, but in March of 2028, council will look at options on selling the park. City administration will get another month to complete a report on outdoor rink options. Administration says that the delay will allow rink user counts from February of this year, along with data from March, to be included in the report. The request for the report originally came back in June of 2024, asking administration to look at different options for outdoor rinks, typically to extend the skating season. The report on outdoor rinks will come back to council on April 7th of this year. The Ontario Winter Games, held in Thunder Bay in 2024, will leave behind some funding as part of the Games' Legacy Fund. The money will be distributed amongst three groups, with $15,000 going to the Pro Kids Reserve Fund, $10,000 to Special Olympics Thunder Bay, and $75,000 to the Community Youth and Cultural Funding Program for Sport Development over the next 2 years. More than $240,000 in legacy funding was identified. The remaining balance, estimated to be more than $123,000, will go to the Event Hosting Reserve Fund, which is used to bid for and host major sporting events, multi-sport games, and other significant activities. The estimated economic impact of the 2024 Games is just under $5.7 million. 1,300 athletes, coaches, managers, and officials took part in the Games, with more than 800 volunteers putting in time to make the event a success. Council heard about and approved a 3-year plan for naming rights at city facilities. Council did go into closed session during this time where they received confidential information about this particular issue. They then came back into open session to continue their debate. The Performance Sponsorship Group prepared a report for administration, noting that there are 9 facilities that could have naming rights attached to them. Council approval is needed to implement naming rights at parks and other facilities like rinks and policies on naming rights already exist, rather. The report says that naming rights are a type of sponsorship and have a commitment involved. This is an established way of funding recreational and cultural facilities. The report says that primary naming rights for a city facility could bring in between $75,000 and $500,000 over a 5 to 15 year period. The top facilities for naming rights are the Fort William Gardens, Canada Games Complex, proposed multi-use turf facility, Prince Arthur's Landing Festival area, and the Centennial Conservatory. Other areas that could have naming rights attached include arenas, stadiums, and baseball diamonds. The report notes that initial naming rights should be pursued this year for the Canada Games Complex, Centennial Conservatory, and the proposed indoor turf facility. Next year, administration will look at finding sponsors for satellite arenas, Fort William and Port Arthur Stadiums, and the Fort William Gardens. A target revenue of $25,000 is identified for this year. And finally, City Manager John Collin presented his 2025 work plan to Council on Monday night. Collin said that, like past years, this year would be challenging, with the next couple of years slated to be the same. The plan is to assist staff with workloads by prioritizing what needs to be done over the next 3 years. The document says that if city staff take on too much work, the results at best will be mediocre. Much of administration's time is spent on routine items, like safety services, like water and wastewater, transportation, environment services, fleet, finance, and infrastructure, along with growth and development. The plan lists items that when they should be completed, and then is to also make sure that there is staff capacity to complete those tasks. Some of the major priorities include the creation of a one-stop development shop, phase 3 of the asset management plan, the council composition review, a review of city governance, a citywide community improvement plan, naming rights and strategy plan, smart growth action plan, a 10-year financial plan, review of central support operations, updating the corporate emergency management plan, 10-part encampment response plan, pool 6 vision and plan, a review of municipal enforcement services framework, procedures and structure, review of paid parking framework, arena renewal plan, accelerate lead pipe replacement, reviewing the public engagement framework, developing a strategic communications plan, including rebranding. Other priorities include updating the signing authority bylaw, the urban design implementation review, create a vacant and dilapidated building program, software rationalization plan, developing a viable action plan for the South Tor, a review of the city's insurance, a waterfront strategy and action plan, rationalizing the growth department and its function, development-ready industrial lands, update the recreation, parks, and facilities master plan, review district EMS stations, and transform the transit division. Additionally, other works include the implementation of the organics program and changing how garbage is picked up, developing a North Tor action and revitalization plan, addressing housing issues, looking at divestment of some city properties, a fundamental review of agencies, boards, and commissions, advancing the transit zero emissions plan, and optimizing the city's office space. The work plan includes other items as well that go over that go past the next couple of years. The work plan didn't need council approval, but was to inform council of all of the items being handled by administration. And that's a wrap as to what happened at council this week. For more information on anything that happens at council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. As far back as nearly everyone can remember, this was a quick budget year. And by that, I mean from presenting to passing, the city's operating budget was discussed and then ratified in just a couple of meetings. Now that the budget is passed and ratified, city administration can issue contracts and get to work on priorities for the year. Harry Greaves is the city treasurer and commissioner of corporate services, and he plays a key role in the formation of the annual budget. Harry, thanks for coming into the Minute Studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the budget process different this year than other years. Can you tell me how you kind of went about creating the budget for this year?
So in the fall, or in the early fall, the city manager suggested that maybe we split up the capital and the operating budgets. And so we got to work. Most of the capital, at that time, most of the capital behind the scenes work was done. So it really was a matter of putting a package together and bringing that to council. And then we focused on the operating after that. And we spent a lot of extra time this year changing the budget format, trying to make it a little more readable and more approachable for council, but also the public.
So you've got this different format that you used. Do you think that helped, I guess, make this process, you know, record timing, it felt like?
Yeah, the feedback from council and from the public was positive. The feedback from council in particular, what I heard was that, you know, as they usually do when they go through the budget binder, they jot down their questions. And what they were finding is that they would jot down a question, flip through the next page, and they find their answer. So I think that did help expedite their review. And so their questions at during deliberation were more higher level, more policy based, rather than into the weeds of where the numbers come from.
Yeah, because you know, in past years, I've covered many budgets. There was a lot of line by line. What does this line mean? What does this line mean? Yeah. Right. We didn't see that this year.
Yeah, we try to get ahead of them a little bit. So what we focused on really during the deliberation was those policy type questions. We had a lot of questions regarding cybersecurity, for instance. And even on when we went, back in November during the Capitol Capitol deliberations, the questions were more about understanding what the projects were versus the amount that was going into each of the projects. And I thought that it led to a more, this is a better conversation overall.
Even though this was a quick budget, there was still certainly discussion over the city's spending. So maybe in generic terms, and I'm just kind of re-asking this again, even though this was a quick budget, there was still certainly some discussion over the city's spending. So what were kind of the things that council was were still curious about, even though the information was maybe a bit more forthcoming in this budget?
Yeah, so one of the things that was asked early on was related to FTEs, to full-time equivalent staff. So there was 24.7 new positions added in the budget, but those positions were mostly fully funded by other levels of government, or from additional revenue generation or from reserve funds. And so one of the early questions was, can you explain or can you provide some more detail on which ones were, which ones weren't fully funded? So we took that feedback and provided council with a memo that outlined how each position, each of the new expansion positions were funded. And I think that was very helpful to council. They did express some appreciation for the quick turnaround on that. It's something that was always done in the past budgets. But we definitely wanted to make sure the council had that information.
So now that the budget is passed, we don't just stop, right? You guys don't get to take a nice vacation till maybe the summer of this year. How are you trying to keep the budget process moving forward?
So now that the budget's approved, it's important that administration now delivers on that budget. So one of the things it was a very aggressive mandate, very aggressive target. So we need to ensure that we implement that budget now and monitor and make sure that we are, coming in on budget. And if we are finding that we're shifting off of that target, we need to do some course corrections. So it's really going to be a lot of monitoring throughout the year. And just in terms of the overall budget process, the direction we have for 2026 is a two-year capital budget. A budget to be approved in 2026 and 2027. It's the first time the city of Thunder Bay has done a multi-year budget. The other municipalities have. There's a lot of lessons learned that we can take away from what other municipalities, how they implemented that. But we do need to change our policies and the way we do the budget. So over the next few months, we're going to be working on updating our budget policies and procedures. They are council approved, so we will have to bring them to council and be able to have that discussion, a little more fulsome discussion at that time.
And what about public feedback? I know we had a survey going on towards the end of the budget process this year. Didn't get a ton of responses. So I guess how do we make sure that the public knows what's going on, but also we can hear what they have to say as well?
Yeah, so we did do a lot of social media engagement, trying to get the message out for both the Q&A session and the public survey. The Q&A event did not have the turnout that we liked, mm-hmm. and the survey was less than we liked as well. So what we really need to do is go back to the drawing board and look at what we can do, how we can do things better, continuous improvement. I have been, the other municipalities are also facing the same problems with engagement. And I have an email in my inbox, for instance, that is asking, you know, what do we do that works? Because they are also having, they are struggling with getting an engagement. So we've actually reached out back to them saying, you know what, we need to be, we're in a similar circumstance. So can we work with you to share some of that, just as a knowledge sharing, so that we can, you know, work with our municipal partners to try to find better ways to engage with the public.
And then finally, you know, key takeaways from this year's budget. So it's passed and approved. If you could kind of give, you know, people on the street per se, the couple sentence highlights, what do you think the highlights would be?
Yeah, you know, as a city treasurer, the focus is on process and financial sustainability. I think the process, the enhancements to the process were very well received and led to a very good result. The financial sustainability, so the tying of the levy increase to the 4-year rolling average of CPIs of inflation, I think that is something that really resonated with council. They see, and we talk a lot about the basket of goods,
right,
for municipalities, not the same as a resident or business, and that's true. I mean, we buy asphalt, we buy concrete. You know, that's a different basket of goods than what the average resident would buy.
Sure.
So, but we have to acknowledge that the residents and businesses live in a world where inflation really drives their bottom line, and so by tying our the city's levy increase to inflation, it supports the idea of financial sustainability for our community.
Kerry, appreciate you coming in today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Kerry Graves, he is the City Treasurer and Commissioner of Corporate Services, and he joined me today in the Minute Studio. And a big thanks for listening to the Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or minutes, just visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, visit thunderbay.ca/theminutes. You can also find the Minutes wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. That's thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. We'll chat again next week. Make it a great day.